All right, well, it's good to be back with you folks. We think of you as part of the family. And it's part of the family that we've never had to worry too much about. We know you're there doing the Lord's business here in this area. As we represent you in the island of Leyte in the Philippine Islands, we're in the city of, now the correct way to pronounce this, at least where I live, is called Tacloban, not Tacloban, okay, because that's what you heard on the news here. But everybody where I live, they call it Tacloban, and that's where we live, and if you remember a little over a year ago, that's the area where the typhoon hit that killed so many people there. I'm out of New Baptist Church, my wife and I, just north of Raleigh. Those of you that may not know us, we were there, I think I was there 16 years when God moved in our heart to go to the Philippines, and we're in our 18th year now. And you've been a part of that all along, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate everything you do. We appreciate your prayer support. We appreciate the financial support. Our folks at our church, MacArthur Independent Baptist Church, named after the town of MacArthur, and the town of MacArthur is named after General Douglas MacArthur. Okay? So the members of MacArthur Independent Baptist Church wanted me to tell all of my churches, thank you. Thank you for sending someone that brought the gospel to them. I asked the Lord when he was dealing with my heart about going to the mission field. I said, God, if it can be within your will for us, put us in a place where there's no one else preaching the truth. And God is good. And he answered that prayer. And that's where he put us. And so there'd been other people come there and try to start a work and didn't work. After I've been there a few years, I found out why. But anyway, I guess I'm just stubborn. So we stayed. I didn't have enough sense to go anywhere else. Actually, what the deal was, when the Lord, one of the things the Lord wanted us to do, or wanted me to do, put in my heart, was to train Filipino pastors. My wife and I teach in a Bible college to do that, but also in our ministry at our church, we continue that on during their schooling and even afterwards. I've had several men that have worked for me. The man that we started to work with, he and his wife are missionaries in Indonesia now. I've had others that are in various places in the Philippines. And so that's kind of what the work's been, a training ground. I went there with the purpose of turning it over to a Filipino national pastor, and we haven't done that yet, but I haven't had a national pastor that God left there for us to do it. Now, the man we have now, his name is Ruel, and he's 30-something, 31, 32 in that age group. He's an excellent young preacher and single man. And he told me about a month before the typhoon hit that he believed God was leading him to stay there and take that work. So, you know, I was glad to hear that. I mean, don't get the wrong idea. It's going to rip my heart out when I have to leave those people. And that's just a fact of life. You can understand that. Maybe some others can. But that was part of what we would do. So I told him, I said, okay, I said, we'll get together and start working out a transitional period. I got to make sure that some other things need to be taken care of. The church pays him some, but it doesn't pay him a full salary yet. And he's going to have to work outside the church some. I've told all of our guys, I said, are you willing to do that? And they said, yes, we are. I said, okay. But anyway, then the typhoon hit. Now, he has had a plate full since I've been gone. And he's doing a good job with it. And so when I get back, I'll observe, see what needs to be done yet, and finish working that out. And Lord willing, God will give us someone else, and we'll find another place that doesn't have a church preaching the truth. I'm not against places that have more than one church in a town. That's not it. But I like being in the country. I grew up in the country. I'm a North Carolinian. It's fine with me to work out in the province at this point. So anyway, since I was here the last time, we've changed some things around. We still are a local independent Baptist church. We still have services on Sunday and Wednesday, all of that. But we've added a thing called C-Kids. And C-Kids stands for Children Knowing God's Love in D for Thee. Everybody's into texting now, okay? The Scriptures. Children Knowing God's Love in the Scriptures. And so what we do on Saturday, we take church to the people. We have about 6 stations in our town that we go out. And the total and that, and our town's a small town, but they'll gather anywhere from 130 to 150 kids up close, not all in one section, but in the 6 sections together. But the culture there is that you'll have older brothers and sisters, you'll have a mom or a dad or a grandmother, grandfather, somebody. There'll be people standing around to see what you're doing with those kids, and they can hear everything's being said. So it has been a good feeder for bringing people into the church. The religion of the country doesn't like us. We don't fight with them. We don't do that. We just preach the Bible and teach the Bible, and that seems to be confrontational enough. That's just the way Satan is. So, you know, they'll give them a hard time sometimes, but still, God's stronger than the devil, and people are still getting saved. So that's just the fact of the matter. We had a medical missions come through since I've been home, but they had 20-some make profession of faith in that, and we just got a report the other day, another person that's been saved and 2 that's being baptized. And then when we go back, we're going to do one more new thing, something new. It's called BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, stands for listen to all of this before you jump to a conclusion, okay? Basic literacy education, now let me finish it, seeking souls, okay? It will not be done in our church. It will be done outside the church, and it's pointed to 4- and 5-year-old children, and it teaches them how to read, and the Bible's the textbook. But along with that, the parents have to agree for us to have Bible studies with them during this time. And it's been done throughout the Philippines, and they say for every 10 students enrolled, statistically, 3 people make profession, and it's not all kids. Now, I'm not a big statistics guy, but it does give some idea, and we're excited about this. And so that'd be something new that we'll go into when we get back. So you pray for the BLESS program, if you will. Turn, if you will, to Nahum chapter 1. Verse 3, I'm going to use part of that verse to get started with here, and we'll show a video in just a minute. And while you're turning there, I want to relate to you and tell you why. I want to relate to you some of the things that God showed me and taught me during the storm, that typhoon we had. That typhoon was 240-mile-an-hour winds. We had a 20-foot storm surge come through. So it wiped out a lot. Over 10,000 dead 4 months after the storm, and they're still finding bodies. Okay. You've got brothers and sisters in the Philippines that still need your prayers. I told Pastor, we're not here asking for money. So do not get the wrong idea. God will meet and has met needs there. He's met a lot of them early on through churches here. I know you guys have helped people over there, and I am so thankful for that. Okay, but I want this to be fresh in your mind, and I hope this will burn an image that you will not forget, because we're always going to have typhoons in our place. Hopefully we'll not have another one this bad again. But in that, and after we show the video, my message tonight is to weave in some things that I've learned about the storm that I went through. But I want you to understand, storms do not have to be typhoons. Storms can be the storm of cancer. Storms can be the storm of any, you know, children as they get older, maybe rebellion and leaving home and breaking your heart. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And a crowd this size, there's many people in here. You've been through some storms. So maybe what I put into practice and learned through my storm, and I've had other storms other than that typhoon, you can either, maybe it will be the first time you've seen some of this, you're in a good church, I doubt it'll be the first time, but maybe it'll be review for you. But we want to be prepared for the storms that come into our life for many reasons. But one is this. You've got literally millions in this world dying and on their way to hell. And there's every kind of fake religion that you can imagine out there that will not help them one bit. And you and I have the truth. And the problem of it is, it usually takes something major in our life for an outside unsaved person to observe us to see if what we've been talking is real. And I guarantee you, if they see it is, sooner or later, God's going to give you the opportunity to share Jesus with them. That's a fact. So if we can have the video at this time, please.
We've been through typhoons, nothing this strong, and certainly nothing with the storm surge.
I recall when the biggest wave must have hit our back door, and instantly the water rose to 5 feet.
You know, the water was there, so this one guy comes over and he gets up to the door upstairs and he's wanting in, and we open it up, find out what's going on. He's got children there. There's
Lord, let us be real to them.
We got the men, they're all on the second floor. Many of them are cut up, serious wounds. My wife was trying to take care of them the best she could with what little medicine things we had.
One of my favorite verses speaks to the fact that no man cares for their soul. And all I could think of was, Lord, however you have to do it, let them see that we care enough to stay here, to help them, to share our rice or our water, whatever, to hold their babies when they're crying, whatever. Just let them see that we care for their souls. Somehow got to my door, and she brought with her her idol, which I'm sure was giving her comfort to some degree. And this lady was clutching this idol, and I found a warm, like a sweater, and I handed it to her. And I turned away just momentarily, and the Lord just let me turn back around and look at her. And she was putting the sweater on her idol. And I understood her to say to her idol, why didn't you say you failed me?
One, as Christians, is for the unsaved to see in a tragic situation what a real Christian is.
God is going to allow us to be in this place at this time for such a time as this. And He's got us here, or He's got His people here, our church members. We are here And we are here now in the midst of this absolute devastation.
But the primary focus is to get these Christians back up and let people see, hey, the God that they serve is a living God.
Before I start, I want to draw your attention to one thing. My wife talked about the lady that brought the idol in. Her putting that sweater on the idol tells us some things, what she believes. She believes this thing is real, living, would be cold, has feeling, all of that. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is when she trusts that idol to take care of her, when she trusts that idol and says, why didn't you save me? Now, folks, that's in the Philippines, but you got that same religion and the same mindset right here in Clayton, North Carolina. And there's a rich mission field right here, not just with that religion, but in every religion. You know, religion says, hey, you got to do something. Jesus Christ says, it is finished. He died one time. He's God. What he does is right. One time was good enough. That's all it took. So don't forget that, lady.